I'd like to invite you to open your Bibles to Mark chapter 10, verses 46 through 52 is the passage that we'll be exploring together tonight. And last time I stood before you to share God's Word with you, my attempt was to preach a sermon in 6 minutes. That was during our Christmas program. That was the time that Tanner allotted for me to be able to share that message with you. So I attempted to do that. I don't actually know how long it took me, but I tried to stay close to that. And afterwards, I've got more compliments on that sermon than any other sermon I'd ever preached here at New Life Baptist Church. So I learned something from that. Caused me to reflect a great deal. And hopefully I'll learn something moving forward. Mark chapter 10, verses 46 through 52 is the passage that we'll be looking at tonight. I'd like to read that aloud in your hearing, and then we will look at that together. Mark 10, this may be a very familiar story to you. Mark 10, beginning at verse 46, I'll read aloud as you follow along. Now they came to Jericho. As he went out of Jericho with his disciples and a great multitude, blind Bartimaeus, the son of Timaeus, sat by the road begging. And when he heard that it was Jesus of Nazareth, he began to cry out and say, "Jesus, Son of David, have mercy on me." Then many warned him to be quiet, but he cried out all the more, "Son of David, have mercy on me." So Jesus stood still and commanded him to be called. Then they called the blind man, saying to him, "Be of good cheer, rise, he is calling you." And throwing aside his garment, he rose and came to Jesus. So Jesus answered and said to him, "What do you want me to do for you?" The blind man said to him, "Rabboni, that I may receive my sight." Then Jesus said to him, "Go your way, your faith has made you well." And immediately he received his sight and followed Jesus on the road. Let's go, Lord, together in prayer. Father, tonight we come to you in Jesus' name. And Father, we confess, Lord, we confess tonight that we continue to be in need of your mercy. And Lord, we continue to need to look to Jesus and to seek Jesus for everything in our lives. And Father, I pray tonight that as we look into your word in this wonderful story of blind Bartimaeus, God, we ask you to allow us to hear what you are saying to us. And we pray, God, that tonight you would use your word in our lives to transform us. And we pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Mark 10, verses 46 through 52. I want to share with you three points from this passage tonight, or really three approaches to this passage tonight. The first one is I want us to enjoy the story. As we look at 46 through 52, enjoy the story, because sometimes when we come to the Bible, we can get caught up in explaining it and digging out all the truth of it that we fail to enjoy the passage itself. And it would be a shame if we came to the story of blind Bartimaeus and we failed to enjoy it. I want to enjoy it and do so in four ways. First of all, let's see, it takes place in it happens in a great place. Bartimaeus has a great name. We see here a great faith. And there's a great outcome. First of all, a great place, we find that being Jericho. And Jericho's not actually mentioned very often in the New Testament, but it's that first place in which the Israelites, led by Joshua, came over into the Promised Land, and it was the first engagement that they had with the Amorites on the west side of the Jordan. So we know the story of the walls coming tumbling down as Joshua obeyed the Lord, walking around the city 7 times, and then what was it, 7 times on the 7th day, and the walls came tumbling down, and they They destroyed that city. So Jericho was certainly a historical, rich historical place for the people of Israel, for the Jews. It happens in a great place, but also we see a great name. The name Bartimaeus. Boy, that's one of those names that just kind of sticks with you. Blind Bartimaeus, that story, is one that when you hear it, it maybe brings back Sunday school stories that you heard. And it's just a warm feeling. Bartimaeus, to my knowledge, is not found anywhere else in the New Testament or in the Bible, that name. But here we see that in this passage that he is Bartimaeus, the son of Timaeus. What that word Bartimaeus means is, it's kind of a hybrid word. It's a combination of a couple of different words. We see Bartimaeus. In other words, Bar is the Aramaic word for son. You know, you've heard of Simon, son of Bar-Jonah, or son of Jonah. So we see that here you take the word Bar and Timaeus, which was his dad's name, and they are combined together. Bartimaeus. Timaeus, from what I understand, has the meaning of honorable. So we here have Bartimaeus. Great name. You know, we don't know much about the guy whatsoever, but we certainly see him, learn a little bit about him throughout this story that I think we will all walk away with that warm appreciation for this blind man who sought the Lord. So we see a great place, and we see he has a great name. What we see is great faith. If you notice here in this passage, Bartimaeus began to cry out to God, to Jesus rather, and he said, "Jesus, Son of David, have mercy on me." That happened in verse 47. And what was everyone's response? "Then many warned him to be quiet." So he begins to cry out, and they're saying, "Shh, be quiet, be quiet." And Bartimaeus is not one to give up easily. We see great faith because it says there, "But he cried out all the more." And what did he say? "Son of David, have mercy on me." And we have to imagine this as not him just saying it one time, but all the more he was doing so. "Son of David, have mercy on me. Son of David, have mercy on me." So we see his great faith. And then we see also a great outcome. As Jesus calls him to himself and he arises and goes, the outcome is this. In verse 52, Jesus in 51 had asked, "What do you want me to do for you?" In verse 52, in verse 51, he says, "Rabboni," which is another way of saying teacher or my teacher. It's an intensified way of saying rabbi. It's like saying my teacher. And he says, "that I may receive my sight." And in verse 52, then Jesus said to him, "Go your way, your faith has made you well." What an outcome of his great faith. It is this great healing that takes place. And he then immediately received his sight and went and followed Jesus on the road. So we enjoy the text. Let's make sure we don't forget to do that tonight. As we've read through this and then seen some of the greatness of it, I hope in these four little points that I've given you, remember how great this passage is, how great this story is. But let's look at number two, and let's explore the story. So let's explore it just a little bit. Let's dig in there and see what we can glean from it, what great truth we have here. And I really want to approach this in two ways, by asking two questions. The first one is, why Jericho? The second one is, why Jesus? So here in this passage, we see Jericho and this city, this ancient city, which the Jericho, from what I'm told from commentators, that the Jericho that is referred to here is probably not the exact same location, but the city that is built here was probably a little bit south of the original Jericho that was destroyed by Joshua and the Israelites. And this Jericho, if you were to flip back in the book of maps in your Bible, you will find that it is northeast of Jerusalem. It's about 5 miles west of the Jordan River. And it is located in an intersection, in a main road that leads to Jerusalem, which is also crossed east to west by another road that would have been running to the coast and then to the Jordan River. So it was a main intersection. So we find Bartimaeus, look in verse 46. Now they came to Jericho, and as he went out of Jericho with his disciples and a great multitude, and by the way, that multitude that would have been traveling with Jesus was probably going to Jerusalem for the Passover, because Jesus here is on the last days of his life. He is going to Jerusalem. He is going there to be crucified. He's going there to be mocked. He's going there to be beaten, just like he had told the disciples three times was going to happen. He is now on his way there. And as he's going there, this throng of people, this multitude, is likely a Passover crowd that is going there with him. And as it says there, blind Bartimaeus, the son of Timaeus, sat by the road begging. So if we think about the location of this, in a main intersection, on a main road, going to Jerusalem, this blind beggar, Bartimaeus, would have stationed himself there because of the number of people going by. Right? If you're begging, you want to be where there are lots of people, right? Because the more people there are, the more opportunities there will be for you to find pity or mercy from someone and to receive help. You know, when you find someone or see someone who is, even today, begging for money. We see people all the time with a cardboard sign holding it up. And they may tell their story on that cardboard sign, but where are they normally located? In an intersection, right? Mm-hmm. On a main road. And Bartimaeus was no different. So he was there in Jericho. But why Jesus? Let's continue to look at the story. In verse 47, "And when he heard that it was Jesus of Nazareth, he began to cry out and say, 'Jesus, Son of David, have mercy on me.'" Now, we all know about Jesus having ministered now for almost 3 years. And we could actually flip back through the Gospel of Mark and see many miracles that he had done. He had healed the lame. He had healed a withered hand. He had healed the blind already in chapter 8. He had raised the dead. He even healed Simon Peter's mother-in-law. Jesus had healed many people. Certainly his fame and his name was being spread in that place. And when Bartimaeus here hears that Jesus of Nazareth is coming by, he begins to cry out. And we really learn about three things that he believed about Jesus from this passage of Scripture. Look at it with me. We see, first of all, Jesus. Jesus means Jehovah is salvation. It's the New Testament equivalent to Joshua. And then we see the term Son of David. Sometimes we just read over that and we don't pay attention to it. But I want you to look over with me to Mark chapter 12. And look at verse 35. Mark 12, verse 35. Probably just flip over one page. But in verse 35 of Mark chapter 12, it says, "Then Jesus answered and said," while he taught in the temple, "How is it that the scribes say that the Christ is the Son of David?" You see that? Jesus asked the question, how is it that the scribes say that the Christ, the anointed one, the promised one by God in the Old Testament, how is it that the Christ is the Son of David? And what that does is that links us, and I shared this with you the night of our Christmas program, that links us directly back to 2 Samuel chapter 7 and the promise that God made to David that he would have a son who would sit upon the throne, upon his throne, and it would be an everlasting throne. And they've been looking for that guy. They've been looking for the Son of David, for the Christ who is the Son of David, for the Messiah. Apparently, Bartimaeus believed Jesus just might be that guy. Because he cries out, "Jesus, Son of David." And then what else did he believe about him in verse 47? "Have mercy on me." He sought him for that thing which he needed the most. He needed mercy. He needed to receive from him that which he did not deserve. He needed mercy from him. And you think about the word mercy. Do y'all remember that word chesed in the Old Testament? That important Old Testament word? It's that mercy that David showed to Mephibosheth. That one who said, "I'm like a dead dog at the king's table." And it was the mercy that David himself had received from the Lord. And Bartimaeus cries out and says, "Have mercy on me." We see here, really, I hope, in that why he's seeking Jesus. Because Jesus, Jehovah, is salvation. Because he's the son of David, the Christ, the promised one. And because he is one who is able to have mercy upon him. And because he's had mercy on so many others as well. Let's go to point number three. We've hopefully enjoyed the story. We have explored the story just a little bit. And now our last point is this. Let's engage the story. In other words, let's respond to it. And then let's realize something. Here in this passage, in verse 48, "Then many warned him to be quiet. But he cried out all the more, 'Son of David, have mercy on me.'" So often, we can become convinced of something concerning the Lord, but when the least little bit of opposition pops up, we quickly quiet down or back away. But Bartimaeus here refused to do that. Why did he refuse to do that? It's because he realized who Jesus of Nazareth was. Do you see that? This might have been perhaps his only chance. Jesus is coming down the road, and I'm not going to miss it. I don't care what you're saying. This is the Christ. And he is merciful, and he just might have mercy on me. Son of David, have mercy on me. Son of David, have mercy on me. Son of David, have mercy on me. And then something amazing happened. Jesus stood still. In verse 49, "And commanded him to be called. Then they called the blind man, saying to him, 'Be of good cheer. Rise, he is calling you.'" And then in verse 50, Bartimaeus threw aside his garment. Not an indication here that he ran up to Jesus without any clothes on, but the indication is here that he got away anything that might restrict him from hurrying to the Lord. So he threw aside his garment, he arose and came to Jesus. And that's the thing that I want to bring us to tonight as we engage the text. Respond. You know, there may be, even in our small gathering here tonight, there may be somebody here tonight that the Lord's calling. It may be that the Lord's calling you to a position of place in ministry. The Lord's calling you to serve Him in some capacity. But there may be somebody here tonight that the Lord is calling you to come to Him. And instead of rising up and going to the Lord, you are refusing to do so. You are hesitating. You're not going for some reason. I want to remind you tonight, I want to beg you tonight to hear the Lord calling and respond to Him. Rise! He is calling you. You know, the Bible says in Ephesians, in chapter 5, verse 14, Paul wrote, he says, "Therefore he says, 'Awake you who sleep, arise from the dead, and Christ will give you light.'" If you are here tonight and you find yourself in darkness in any way whatsoever, arise and go to Jesus and He will give you light. You see, that's why we proclaim Christ crucified, risen again on the third day to those that we encounter on a daily basis, to our family, to our friends, is because Christ and Christ alone is able to give light. Christ and Him alone is able to give life. He proved He could by healing people like Bartimaeus. You see, Bartimaeus responded. They said, "Rise, He is calling you." He threw aside his garment. He rose and came to Jesus. And in verse 51, "So Jesus answered and said to him, 'What do you want me to do for you?' The blind man said to him, 'Rabboni, that I may receive my sight.' And Jesus said to him, 'Go your way, your faith has made you well.' And immediately he received his sight and followed Jesus on the road." Dear friends, tonight I want to remind you of the gospel message that God, through Christ, saves lost sinners.
Amen.
And the Bible says, Paul said this, he said, "For we do not preach ourselves, but Christ Jesus the Lord, and ourselves your bondservants for Jesus' sake. For it is God who commanded light to shine out of darkness, who has shone in our hearts to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ." God is able to do that for us. Blind Bartimaeus told Jesus exactly what he wanted him to do. Jesus did exactly what Bartimaeus asked him to do. Bartimaeus received his sight immediately. He arose and followed Jesus. And isn't that the way it ought to be? We follow Jesus. Right? When he saves us, we follow him. That's discipleship. Now, I want to look at one last sub-point there. We've seen respond. The last one is realize. Why don't more people respond? Why don't more in our congregation who may be lost respond? And it boils down to this. It's something that Bartimaeus knew well that many in our world do not know. Bartimaeus understood his need. And he saw that, and he knew that Jesus was his only hope. So many of us fail to see our need and believe that Jesus is our only hope. You see, Bartimaeus said, "Jesus, Son of David, have mercy on me." I want to tell you tonight, every one of us, we were all in need of it, and we are all in need of the mercy of God. Do you understand that? Bartimaeus was not deserving. Bartimaeus didn't work himself there. Bartimaeus cried out and asked the Lord to have mercy upon him. And tonight, folks, it's the same way with any of us. We are in need of that mercy. You see, we are dead in our trespasses and sins. And the wages of sin is what?
Yes.
It's death. You remember that story of the publican in Luke chapter 18? And there was the Pharisee and the publican, right? And the Pharisee, two men went up to the temple to pray, the Bible tells us, Jesus saying, sharing this parable. And one was a Pharisee and the other was a tax collector. The Pharisee stood and prayed thus with himself, "God, I thank you that I am not like other men, extortioners, unjust, adulterers, or even as this tax collector. I fast twice a week and I give tithes of all that I possess." And the tax collector, standing afar off, would not so much as raise his eyes to heaven, but he beat his breast, saying, "God, be merciful to me, a sinner." I tell you, this man went down to his house justified rather than the other. For everyone who exalts himself will be humbled, and he who humbles himself will be exalted. We are all just like this tax collector, just like Bartimaeus, in need of the mercy of God. You see, Jesus can't save you until you realize you need Him. But once you realize you need Him, and call out to him, the scripture says that you will in no wise be cast out. See, Jesus did not come to call the righteous, but sinners to repentance. And that is the great news of the gospel. I shared with you a couple weeks ago about Jacob. You all remember Jacob wrestling with God? He wrestled with him all night long. He would not let go. He refused. He said, not until you bless me. Not until you bless me. Bartimaeus is kind of like a Jacob. He did not care what everybody was saying around him. When they said to be quiet, he refused to let go. He kept wrestling with God. He kept crying out to Jesus. And Jesus blessed him. You might be lost tonight. Don't be satisfied with that. You've heard the gospel message, and maybe you don't even really realize your need yet, but yet you've heard the gospel message. And at some level it makes sense to you. Well, here's what you need to do. You just wrestle with God. Don't let go. You ask Him to save you. You ask Him to help you see your need for a Savior. You ask Him to give you faith and repentance that you might be saved from your sins and glorify Him in through that salvation. Don't let go. Don't quit. And maybe tonight you're a Christian and you're just not where you want to be. Or you're not where God wants you to be. Maybe you're just fine and comfortable where you are, but you're not where God wants you to be and you know it. Maybe tonight you need to call out to the Son of David. Ask Him to have mercy on you that you might be the person that God would have you to be. That you might be the follower of Jesus that He saved you to be. Alright? Let's pray. Father, we thank You for Your Word. Thank You for blind Bartimaeus and that his story is recorded in Scripture. Lord, I hope tonight enjoyed this story. We've explored the story a little bit, and Lord, I pray that we can engage with it. That we will rise because Jesus is calling us. And Lord, I pray that we will realize that we are in need of His mercy. Help us to see ourselves, Lord, for who we are. Lost and undone in our sins apart from Jesus. And Lord, I pray as Christians that we'll see ourselves for who we are, justified in Jesus. And those who are being sanctified and will one day be glorified. Lord, I pray for these things, that we will experience the mercy of God, continue to pursue it daily. And Lord God, that Jesus Christ would be magnified in us and through us. Now, Lord, we pray in conclusion, save the lost. Lord, use Your Word, please, to draw them to yourselves, to Yourself, that You might receive the glory. We pray it in Jesus' name. Amen.